Isn't it wonderful when we have services like this where God just loves on us and there's a sense of God's presence? Was it just me? Did anyone else have a sense of God's presence? Okay, that's good. Maybe just for the guys on the songboard, just do the best you can. Let's go with the scriptures and then we'll work it out. We're sharing in this month of May, we're participating with hundreds of other churches in our city in what's called the One Tswane event, where all the churches in the city unite to preach a common theme, to preach about, in this instance, it's called One Life series in our city. And so all across the city, churches will be focusing today specifically on the topic of being loved by God. The topic we're sharing everywhere is being loved by God. And so I wonder how you would define love. What would your answer to the question be? What is love? Now, for many of us, if we think of it in a personal sense, because, you know, we could all define love generally, probably. Love is when people are kind to me, or love is when I, it's a famous Christian one. What's it? It's not a feeling, it's an... Okay, the older Christians in the room probably heard the song. Love is not a feeling, it's a act of your will. For those who didn't know that, I'm going to modify it a bit, so don't take notes of that yet. But I wonder if you had to define love, what does it mean in your life? Now, that will probably be conditioned a little bit about how you grew up and your personality and who you are. There's a book called The Five Love Languages. Is it Chapman, Gary Chapman? Five Love Languages. And he talks about the different ways people receive and give and experience love. If you had to answer the question, what is love? Some of you might have said, well, love is when I get gifts. Hey, anybody? Love is presents? Nobody. Not even the ladies. Okay. Love is presents. Okay. Husbands, just note if your wife put up her hand. Love is presents. Perhaps some would go, well, love is when I can spend quality time with somebody. Perhaps others is, love is when people do things for me, when they act kindly to me or they help me with things. Perhaps for others, love is when you get a hug and someone touches you. We all receive and experience love in different ways. For some, it's words when they give and receive, or get kind words when they get told how wonderful they are. It makes them feel really loved. One of our challenges today is that love is very much defined by media. And let's Hollywood bash a little bit, but Hollywood has defined love in a certain way, hasn't it? Unfortunately, it's been highly sexualized, and so sometimes when people look for love, they equate it with sex, don't they? Not us, obviously, them. Okay. But that's one of the things that Hollywood has done, is it's defined love for us in a certain way. And these are not ways that love is necessarily a biblical definition. Sometimes love is hard to define because some of us regard love as being in the abstract sense. It's an emotion. Is love an emotion? Yes, it is. No, I get where you're going. Okay, I get where you're going. Love is an emotion. There's this emotive thing. We're supposed to have certain feelings and emotional connotations attached to love. But love is not just a feeling. It's also a choice sometimes, or it's an act that you do. And so sometimes we live with this tension around how abstract is love and how concrete is love. Is it emotion? Is it a choice? And there's tensions inherent in that. Now, today, I'm probably one of the things I want to say is love is a both and thing. Love is not an either or thing. There's certain things in the world that are either or. Either you're telling the truth or you're not. You're a liar. Okay, it's an either or. It's not, you can't both tell the truth and lie at the same time. Are we okay? So, truth is not a both and thing, it's an either or thing. But love is a both and thing in this sense, in that there is an emotive component. Like this morning in the service, we sense the love of God. There's an abstract, undefinable quality to love. But love is also the both and part where we experience it in our lives and we know that we are loved. Not only that we feel we're loved, but we experience that we are loved. And so I'd like to look now as to what does the Bible say about love? And the key passage that we're going to use this morning is in the first book of John, chapter 4, from verse 7 to 9, 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 9. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can follow along there. Because this is one of the many passages in the Bible that talks about love. In fact, I think in the New Testament alone, there's over 320 references to the word love, the biblical word of love. And in this passage, 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 9, it highlights three key concepts for us around being loved by God. So 1 John 4, 7 reads, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Now, on the screens, if you can see, we've highlighted three phrases in this passage, and I want to use that as a basic outline of what I want to share. We want to talk about the fact that God is love. We want to look at the fact that God showed his love amongst us. He demonstrated his love. And then we want to look at how we should love one another. So one of the first things the Bible says about love is that God is love. God in himself, in his person, in the nature of who he is, in his character, is love. And this is one of the ways when we want to try and define love, we need to see who is God. What is he like? As the Father, Son, and the Spirit have perfect relationship, as they interact and talk, out of that relationship, love is expressed. So love is rooted in the character and in the nature of God. It's fundamental to who he is. It also means that love is expressed in relationship. Love was first expressed in the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so if you want to ask the question what love is God. It's seen in who he is and also in what he does. Love is only expressed in relationship. So God is love. This verse also tells us that love is very important. In fact, it's the most important thing. If you do not love, you do not know God. How challenging is that? How sobering is that? If you reflect on your life, what would your love meter be? If someone had to rate your life on a scale out of 10, what would they give you for love? If you do not love, you do not know God. Love is incredibly important. The flip side is true. When you love well, when you love well in relationships, when you love others well, you are reflecting God. As he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. Love is incredibly important. The Bible also says in this verse to us that God showed his love amongst us, because love isn't just abstract. It has to be shown. And so when we want to know what love is, we have to see it demonstrated. We have to experience it, express it to other people. So God showed his love among us. The primary way that the New Testament speaks that he did it is in verse 9. It says he sent his Son into the world. God didn't have just warm feelings towards us. He didn't just have good intentions towards us. He didn't just say words like, "I love you." He showed it. Is that okay? And so there is this verbal element, an intentional element to love, where I tell people I love them. Perhaps if you have relatives living overseas and you, I don't know if you've ever done this, when you call them and you chat to, in my case, it's my brother and his wife, and I often chat to my brother and I'll say, "Please send love to his wife." It's expressed. It's a sentiment. It's an intention that's shown. It's an intention that's expressed. It's not something that is shown. And there is that element to love. It's good to tell people that we love them. In many South African homes, I'm generalizing, okay? But in many homes in South Africa, particularly when I was a child, and it was a common experience of many of my friends, how many of you, when you were younger, actually heard your father, these words coming from your father, "I love you"? Is there anybody? Okay. There's some, but not. It's not the majority, unless people didn't stick up their hands. But for most in the room, I knew my dad loved me because he provided for me, he showed some interest in my life. But he never actually said those words to me, probably until I was older than 20 years old. Now, that's, I don't know if that's everybody's experience, but it was mine. I knew he loved me. There was an interest, and he bought me stuff, and he showed me stuff, because my dad believed you show love by providing. And when you're younger, sometimes you don't actually realize that that was a way that was demonstrating love. So there is this element of love where it must be expressed, but it must also be shown. And God showed his love, as he did for many this morning when they came to the front. God showed his love for us today by sending his son for us. Love must be shown. Wonder what word, I have a word that I always associate with the love of God. What word would you associate with the love of God? My word is relentless. Love is relentless. God's love is relentless. It just won't go away. It just won't stop. It keeps coming and it keeps coming. It's a bit like children. They just don't go away. Okay, sorry. But God's love, my word, is that it's relentless. It just doesn't go away. God doesn't love us from a distance. He comes and the text says, he showed his love among us. It's with us. He showed his love among us. The third thing we see in this verse that John, the Apostle John, writes for us, he says, we are also to love one another. We are to love one another. God is love. He has shown his love to us by sending his son. But what that translates to is that we also have to express that love. We have to show the love of God to others. Because you see, when we tell people and when we hear for ourselves that Jesus came and died for us, it's a historical event. It's something that actually happened in history. That for once and for all time in the universe demonstrates the love of God, but it happened in the past. So how do people know and experience the love of God today? Through you and I. Through relationships as we love one another today in the present. That's how love's... There is this abstract sense where we experience God's love like we did in the service today, where we know it perhaps intuitively, we feel it emotionally. But God's love today is demonstrated through us as we love one another. Now, our challenge with the word love is it's really broad. You can love people, you can love chocolate. No one loves chocolate. You can love your pets, you can love a car. Okay. You can love different things. We use the word in the English language. It's a very broad word. Is that okay? You want to understand that? Now, what is a little bit helpful is in ancient Greek language, they actually had different words that described different kinds of love. You guys don't have to put up the slide for this. I'm just going to explain it shortly. But they had a word, for example, for brotherly love, where there was this love that you experienced between friends. They had a word that explained that. So you couldn't just say, I love my friends. You would use the word phileo. I have this affection towards my friends. They had another word for the love that's found in families or natural love, like parents and children or brothers and sisters. You know, you kind of had to love them because it's natural. They had another word for erotic love, which, by the way, is not used in the Bible, so we don't talk about it in church, if you ever wondered why. Okay. But they had a word that described that. But the most common word that the New Testament uses for love is what we talk about, unconditional love. You might have heard the word agape. It's got a verb form as well. But that word is used more than 300 times in the New Testament. It's actually quite unique because the Bible takes it and says, this love of God is an unconditional love. And so when we talk about loving one another in the Christian sense, it includes the brotherly love and it includes the natural affections and affinities that we feel. But the focus in Scripture when we talk about love is this unconditional love. Now, because God is perfect, he loves unconditionally. As we become more like Jesus, we learn to love unconditionally. Probably one experience in my life where I really think I felt unconditional love was the first time I held my daughter in my arms after she'd been born. And I remember looking at her and thinking, how am I going to love you? And in my own words, I've articulated it this way, forever and always, no matter what. Forever and always, no matter what. Gerben shared earlier in the service, some people feel they can't come to love God because of what they've done. When God says he loves you, it's forever and always, no matter what. That's why he'll forgive your sin, because he loves you. It's why he'll die for you, because he loves you. So will you remember the unconditional love of God when it says we must love one another? We're not perfect. We battle, I think, sometimes to love unconditionally. But if we start with, well, I'm going to love you, particularly in marriage, I'm going to love you forever and always, no matter what. That's a tough way. It's a challenging way to love. Now, when we talk about loving one another, to love one another, this is where love moves from an abstract concept, like where we say, I choose to love you. That's a choice, but it's in the realm of idea. When we say we're going to love one another, love needs to become a little bit more concrete. It needs to become a little bit more tangible, something we can experience and something we can know. I said earlier that one of the ways that love is popularly defined is that love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. And when we hear those words, where it kind of lands for me at least, is that love is a choice. But love is actually more than a choice. Love is a choice to act. Love is a choice to do. It's a choice to make something real. And to show this to you, I'd like us to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to read the passage first, just three verses from verse 4 to 7. And then we're going to put a slide up on the screen after I've read it. It's a well-known passage. And I think part of our challenge with this passage is we're very familiar with it, so we kind of don't let it move through our hearts. We just let it bounce off our eyes as we read. And so perhaps as I read it now, can you listen with your heart? What happens here is in this multi-gifted church that's in Corinth, they've got lots of gifts in the Spirit. They experience miracles and wonders and all those things. But in their demonstration and in their practice of their faith, Paul concludes that they lack love. And so what he does in chapter 13 is he actually defines love for them. This love they should have towards one another when they are going to love each other. So Paul writes 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. He says, love is patient. And this is the verb love. This is when you do love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. Verse 7, love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. If you guys can put up the slide now. How is Christian love expressed to one another as believers in the body of Christ? But how does our city know that they are loved by God? When you go to work tomorrow, when you go home this afternoon, or by Thursday when the week has been tough and hard, how does the world know? How does our city know that it is loved by God? I'm proposing this morning that the world and the city knows that it's loved by God when we love them. Not just by saying, I love you, but when we act out love, when love is more than a noun that must be defined, but that when it becomes a verb that must be acted on. And so how is Christian love expressed? Can you guys get there? Okay. Be trying. Christian love, 1 Corinthians 13. What I've done on the slide, if we can get it up, is just I've put the words in that passage, patience, kind, does not envy. I've put them up in a random way. Because I'm wondering, as you go, as you leave, if you think about how do you love one another, what aspect of this? This passage has helped me greatly. Because instead of just saying I have love towards someone, it defines for me how I should act. When I am patient, what am I doing? I'm loving somebody. When I am kind, I am loving somebody. When I'm not being jealous, I am loving somebody. When I am not keeping a record of wrongs, I am loving somebody. Because this is how God is towards us. He is patient. He's kind. He doesn't keep a record of wrongs. When I'm hoping and trusting, when I'm protecting, when I'm not easily angered with my children, then I am loving one another. Thank you. So as I've sorted the words on that screen and as I've put them up randomly, I wonder if you look at that screen, how you are doing in terms of loving one another. How kind are you being? This helps love become a little bit more measurable. It makes love a little bit more concrete. If you had to complete the equation, love equals you could attach any of those phrases. Love does not boast. Love equals trust. Love equals protection. Love equals not getting angry. Love equals being patient. This is where love becomes more practical for us. How is Christian love expressed? Probably one of the most difficult places to express love is when we are in conflict. Is that your experience? When you're in a disagreement with someone, when there's conflict and you don't agree, whether it's in your family, within your marriage, we call it a domestic. Not like a domestic disturbance where you have to call the police out, but a domestic. When you're involved in a domestic and you intensely care and there's passion involved, how do you love? Do you stay kind? Do you stay patient? Do you not keep a record of wrongs? The danger of getting into trouble. Ladies, you're quite good at this part, you know that. Keeping a record of wrongs. Husbands, 6 years ago, you said. Okay. Yeah. Remember when you said, okay. But when I'm in conflict with someone, let's say at the office I get into a fight about something. What does love say? Love says I don't run around the office and tell everybody about it. I don't post it on my Facebook page. I don't send emails to everybody and tell everybody about the conflict. As a Christian, when I have to love, I need to still decide, how do I honor? Because love does not dishonor. In this conflict, even when I seriously disagree, how am I going to be kind? How am I going to be patient? It's when we love like this that we show people what God is like. When I'm kind, when people are harsh to me, I have ground to show them and demonstrate the love of God that's in their lives. So in Hatfield, we talk a lot about our vision statement is God's kingdom in hearts and homes and beyond. And I wonder, as you sit here this morning, how your heart is doing. Are you loved? Do you feel loved by God? Do you know that He died to know you, literally died to know you? And that you can experience the ongoing presence of His Spirit in your life to comfort you. That you can experience love through the community of faith. We can experience love through one another. We can endeavor to show the love of God in our homes, where we are kind to each other. We are not self-seeking. We honor one another. We don't keep a record of wrongs. But we can also show God's love in our city, in our beyond, as we gather across this month in the 120 event. And so, we are loved by God. We've experienced the love of God in the service this morning through the immediacy of His presence, through the sense that He's with us. But we are also loved by God when we choose to act and to show love. When I choose to be kind, when I choose to be patient, when I choose not to be jealous, when I choose to rejoice in the truth, I show people love as well. And so, as we close the service now, this time tomorrow, where are you going to be this time tomorrow? Consider two things. One, it'll be worth it to pause and just go, I'm loved by God. This relentless love of God is in my life. I know it because He sent His Son for me. I know it because I experienced His presence in church yesterday. That's the one thing that will be good to do this time tomorrow. The other thing that will be good to do tomorrow, I would challenge you, this time tomorrow, where you're going to be is to say, how am I going to practice love? How am I going to choose to show love, to take this love as a verb and express it? And maybe you need to quickly go to 1 Corinthians 13, whichever meeting you're in. Maybe you're rushing to fetch the kids, changing nappies, presenting in the boardroom, typing on the computer. Just to pause and go, how can I show the love of God to somebody today? Won't you stand with me as we close the service? I'd like to pray for us. Father, thank You that we could experience Your love in the service today, just through the outpouring of Your Spirit in our midst, through the sense of Your presence. Thank you that we know you've showed your love for us in a final way by sending your Son. You came among us. You didn't just express your love from a distance. You came among us and loved us where we are. And help us to be like that too, Lord, that where we go among people and where we go among each other in the body of faith, that we can express your love, that we can really love one another in a way that is more concrete. And then, Lord, as we have opportunity, help us to love our city better. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.